Okay, let's really unpack this deep dive into personalizing internal communications. We're hitting a problem that, frankly, feels almost universal right now.
Yeah.
Just drowning in information.
Totally.
You might have heard that stat, the amount of digital stuff we make every single hour today. It's apparently more than all the content created from the dawn of time up to like 2003.
It's staggering. It really is a tidal wave, isn't it?
Mind-boggling.
And, organizations haven't really helped by just layering on more channels. Oh, here's another app, another platform, another place for pings.
Right. The idea was more channels, more reach.
But it doesn't work like that. If you're just blasting the same message everywhere, it just adds to the noise.
Exactly. Which shows there isn't just one magic channel or one message that fits everyone. We're all different.
And that's the core idea we're digging into today, based on a really insightful conversation between Sharon O'Dea and Tarek Kamil. This whole deep dive, it's about how to cut through that massive overwhelm by making comms genuinely relevant.
How do you actually reach people the way they want to be reached? Drive real engagement, maybe rebuild some trust.
And just make work feel less like wading through sludge. That's the goal.
So our mission here is to pull out the most useful bits from their discussion, give you a clear view of the problem and the practical solutions. Let's start with that problem, because it's not just annoying, it has real consequences.
Absolutely. Forget the information age. I think we're squarely in the attention age now, and actually getting someone's attention, that's incredibly hard.
Especially at work. I mean, employees are just bombarded, email inboxes overflowing, Slack or Teams channels constantly buzzing.
Notifications popping up everywhere on multiple platforms.
Yeah.
And it's not just the sheer volume, it's how relentless and fragmented it all feels. And what happens when you're hit with that constantly, you get pretty good at filtering.
Which usually means just ignoring stuff.
Exactly. We get really good at tuning things out, and that's where the real cost comes in. Okay, sure, critical updates get missed. That's bad.
But it goes deeper, right? People just stop listening. All those unread emails, those ignored pings, they chip away at trust.
Yeah, they break down alignment. They make people feel disconnected, kind of adrift.
That feeling that work isn't quite working, like you're always behind, missing something important, but you just can't possibly keep up.
It adds up. It definitely contributes to burnout. It's not one big thing. It's like death by a thousand
Or
notifications.
1,000 irrelevant emails.
Yeah.
And it makes total sense why getting attention internally is such a battle when you think about where employees' attention is being trained outside of work.
Precisely. Just think about the apps you use every day, Netflix, Amazon, Spotify. They've completely changed what we expect from digital experiences.
Yeah, they don't make you fill out tons of surveys about what you like. They just seem to know you. And it's seamless, right? Across devices, watch on your phone, pick up your tablet, it's right there. That contiguous experience. The channel isn't the point, it's the effortless relevance.
Spotify's Discover Weekly is like the perfect example. It somehow sifts through millions of songs, billions of data points, and serves up a playlist that often feels, well, unnervingly accurate.
Right. It finds stuff you wouldn't even think of.
Yeah. It might find some obscure artist you loved years ago or someone totally new. I actually found the Scottish artist Jerry Cinnamon through mine.
Ah, that's brilliant. It knows your taste so well, even the weird corners. And the amazing thing is, even with what, hundreds of millions of songs out there, it doesn't feel overwhelming.
No, it feels curated. It filters the noise to give you the signal you care about.
They've set the bar incredibly high. So when employees come to work, the internal comms often feel like, well, a massive step down.
A stark contrast, yeah. Why does work stuff often feel so irrelevant compared to the apps in our personal lives? Our expectations for relevance are just sky high now. Consumer tech trained us.
Okay, so if that's the problem, drowning in noise, sky-high expectations for relevance, what's the antidote? Sharon O'Dea and Tarek Kamil argued the fix isn't just sending less.
Right, it's making every message actually count. It's about saying less, but making it count.
And that means understanding and using two key ideas that often get mixed up: targeting and personalization.
And there's a definite order to them,
Yeah.
sort of a order of
Okay,
operations.
let's break that down. What is targeting, really?
Targeting is step one, absolutely fundamental. It's about sending the right message to the right group of people based on things we know about them: role, location, department, how long they've been there.
So basically, moving beyond all staff emails.
Exactly. It's sending a message only to the people it actually affects or is relevant to.
Like not sending the new VP travel policy update to frontline staff who never travel. Or people who left 6 months ago?
You'd be surprised. It happens all the time because comms teams often have to rely on, frankly, outdated lists from IT or HR. They don't always have easy control over clean employee data.
Ah.
So targeting is like aiming a spotlight. It cuts down the noise massively by just not sending irrelevant stuff to everyone.
Okay, so targeting, right message, right group. What's personalization then? Mm-hmm. How's that different?
Personalization is the layer on top of targeting. It's taking that message, which is already going to the right group, and making it feel like it's specifically for you, the individual within that group.
Okay.
This is where you use their name, maybe send it in their preferred language, tweak the layout for mobile versus desktop, or include local info like their office contact or events nearby.
So if that travel policy is relevant to me because I do travel, personalization makes it feel more like, hey, my name, here's that policy update that impacts you.
Exactly right. It adds that human touch. And it saves the recipient time because it immediately signals, yes, this is for you.
Makes sense.
But you absolutely must be able to target well before you can personalize effectively, sending a personalized hi name message to the wrong group. Well, that's just putting lipstick on a pig, right? Still irrelevant.
Yeah, pointless personalization.
But targeting without personalization can sometimes feel a bit cold, a bit clinical. You really need both working together for the best result.
So how do organizations actually start doing this? It sounds like a lot. Sharon O'Dea and Tarek Camille talked about it as a kind of crawl, walk, run journey.
Yeah, exactly. The crawl stage is pretty basic personalization, just using someone's name. Simple, but a start.
Okay.
Then walk is maybe tailoring content based on things you know they're interested in or how they've engaged before. Like if you know someone always clicks on articles about community service, you might prioritize that content for them, even if it's not, you know, critical business news.
Right. Making it relevant to their known interests. And run. What does that look like?
Run is getting closer to that seamless Netflix feel. It's tailoring content based on their behavior across different channels. So if you already read a big announcement on the intranet,
you wouldn't see it plastered all over the newsletter again.
Exactly. Or as a banner in Teams. It frees up that space and attention for something else relevant that you haven't seen yet.
Okay. But for internal comms teams who often feel, let's be honest, completely swamped and under-resourced.
Yeah.
Doesn't this sound like more work? Like being told to swim faster when you're already drowning.
It absolutely can feel that way. But the point they made is that these techniques and the right tech supporting them are actually the life preserver. They automate a lot of the manual grind, freeing you up for more strategic thinking. You're not necessarily doing more comms, you're doing smarter comms.
Well, we can borrow a lot from marketing here.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They've been doing this stuff for ages.
Definitely. We can build internal employee personas. You know, data-backed profiles of key groups, frontline workers, new parents, specific regional teams, understanding their unique needs and how they prefer to get info.
And look at behavioral data, not just demographics.
Mm-hmm.
What are people actually reading on the intranet? How far down the page do they scroll? Email opens, clicks, training completions?
Right. Organizations often have incredibly rich data on employees, maybe even richer than their customer data. It's just often stuck in silos.
But that data helps us see what actually resonates and maybe where people are tuning out.
And mapping employee journeys. Just like marketers map customer journeys, we can map key moments in the employee lifecycle: onboarding, probation, return from leave, promotions, even becoming an alum.
And you can automate relevant, personalized messages triggered by those specific moments.
Exactly. Makes the communication timely and super relevant.
But to do this sustainably, you need some foundations in place.
Absolutely. You need the right platform, sure, but also solid processes, reliable data, and clear governance.
And as we keep saying, data is just crucial. It's the single source of truth about your people, who they are, where they are, role, engagement.
And the big challenge, as Sharon O'Dea and Tarek Camille pointed out, is that this data is often all over the place. They mentioned a company with, get this, 26 different systems holding people data, often from mergers and acquisitions.
26. Wow. Imagine trying to send one simple targeted message across that landscape.
Almost impossible, right? Unless you can bring that data together somehow or get the systems talking to each other properly. So investing in data quality and integration isn't really optional for serious personalization.
Makes sense. And governance. What does that involve?
It's about setting clear rules. Which channels are for what type of message? How can employee data be used? How do you define different segments? Who approves content for which audience?
Sounds a bit like bureaucracy, but I guess it stops the chaos.
Exactly. It prevents sending like 12 conflicting messages to the same person or just eroding trust because the channels become a free-for-all. It helps prioritize and coordinate.
And tools. Analytics must be key.
Vital. If you're sending emails today and have no idea who's opening them, you're flying blind. You don't know who you've reached, who still needs the info.
Right.
But the good news is you often don't need to rip everything out. Many existing platforms, your intranet, your email system, probably have personalization features that aren't being fully used.
So it's about sweating the assets.
Mm-hmm.
Using what you've got, but smarter.
Often, yeah. And focusing on better integration rather than just chasing the next shiny new tool.
Now, internal comms has this unique aspect that maybe external marketing doesn't worry about quite as much. Some information has to be seen. Which brings us to this idea of balancing prescribe versus subscribe.
Right. The prescribe model is for the essential stuff. Things employees must see: compliance training, safety alerts, major org changes, critical messages from leadership.
Because the stakes are higher internally. Right. Missing a safety update isn't like missing a discount code.
Exactly. But if everything is pushed as mandatory, urgent, prescribed, people just get fatigue. They stop paying attention altogether.
You're just where subscribe comes in.
Yeah. The subscribe model is about giving employees choice, letting them opt in to topics they care about, choose preferred channels, frequency, even formats.
That builds trust, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Respecting their preferences.
It does. And it also gives you incredibly valuable insight into what topics people genuinely care about.
So the real art is finding that balance.
Mm-hmm. You need to make sure the critical prescribed stuff gets to the right targeted people effectively. Communicators need control over that.
Well, you blend it.
You blend it seamlessly with the subscribe stuff, things they've opted into, or things you know are relevant based on their profile or behavior, even if it's not strictly mandatory.
They mentioned a really neat real-world example, personalized news digests.
Yeah, those are great. They automatically tailor the content for each individual based on that blend. What they absolutely need to know, prescribed. What they want to know or have shown interest in, subscribe behavioral. And this is key, what they haven't already seen elsewhere.
So for a factory worker, it might lead with a safety alert for their specific plant, prescribed. Then maybe news about a green initiative they clicked on before, subscribe behavioral. Perhaps a local site update they missed.
And it definitely wouldn't include that VP travel policy update. It helps people understand why they're seeing something. Is it vital or is it just relevant to them?
Okay, so pulling this all together, the big message seems to be relevance is the cure for information overload.
Absolutely. And you get that relevance not just by sending less, but by sending smarter.
Which means effectively combining targeting and personalization. Targeting gets it to the right group.
And personalization makes it feel right for the individual. They're different, but they need each other.
And you don't have to boil the ocean to start.
No way. Start small. Pick one message, one audience, one personalization tweak. Maybe it's just changing a newsletter headline by a region or trying a dynamic message for new hires in one department.
Test it, see what happens, build from there.
And use what you have, HR data, existing platforms, analytics. You might already have the tools, just need to use them differently. Maybe push for better data access or integration. Think like marketing, test, learn, iterate.
At its heart, it's really about respecting your reader's time and attention, isn't it?
Totally. Resisting that urge to just blast everything to everyone, accepting that one size definitely does not fit all.
And realizing that visibility isn't the same as value. Sometimes the best communication is the one you didn't send to that person because it wasn't relevant.
And one final point they made, which I think is crucial. As much as data is vital, remember, it's about knowing people, not just data points.
Mm.
Data tells you what people are doing, clicks, views, segments. But real human understanding, empathy, listening, watching that tells you why. It helps you figure out what they truly need and design comms that actually resonate. Don't just design by spreadsheet. Add that human layer.
So by focusing on these strategies, targeting well, personalizing thoughtfully, getting the data and governance right, balancing that prescribe-subscribe need, you can genuinely make internal comms way more relevant, more respectful, and ultimately more useful for your employees.
Yeah, if you strip away all the jargon, it boils down to asking, how would you want to be communicated with if you are in that role, in that place, with those interests?
Exactly. And hopefully this deep dive gives you some practical steps, maybe some motivation, to start answering that question with real actions, even small ones.
Fundamentally, if you can nudge your organization even slightly closer to that consumer-grade expectation of relevance for your employees, you're definitely heading in the right direction.
So thinking about everything we discussed today, tailoring comms, balancing need to know with choice, what's maybe one small step you could take this week just to make one communication feel a bit more targeted or personalized for the people it's really meant for?